Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to the Lifebook Member Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. Quality of Life Month. I love this category, and I'm very excited to speak with today's guest. She is a life coach and a speaker and a feng shui specialist and so much more. Marie Diamond is on the line with us today. How you doing, Marie?
I'm doing great, Jordan. Wonderful to be with you and your listeners.
Yes, thank you so much for joining us. I'm so excited to talk to you. The quality of life category is so interesting here. And I want to talk to you about feng shui today. So I'm really excited. First, though, for the listeners, why don't you give a little background on who you are and what you do?
Wonderful. Well, I'm a global transformational teacher, speaker, best-selling author. I'm a feng shui master, and you know me as one of the master teachers in The Secret. I'm actually the only European teacher in The Secret, a movie and a bachelor. And I live between London and the south of France. I have a family with three children, married 30 years. And I'm a lawyer from background, interesting enough. And of course, I'm one of the teachers on Mind Valley. So super happy to be part of today.
I love it. MarieDiamond.com for all things that Marie does. Very, very good website you have going on there. What brought you into feng shui and just the art of transforming spaces? What led you to that in your life?
Well, it actually started when I was 15, very early on. I had a near-death experience, actually. And when I came back from on the other side, I was very clear of the message of my purpose. And the purpose I really received from the other side was, I am here to enlighten more than 500 million people. Now, I had no idea how to start with that. I was 15.
Wow.
And so what happened was, I already had a spiritual teacher. I was meditating since I was 7. And I asked my teacher, what did I do wrong that I created this experience, you know? Because I didn't really sign up for being almost dead. And he just shared with me, well, you have bad feng shui. And I'm like, what's that? And then he shared with me that the place where I was sleeping, what I really hated that place, was just creating a lot of bad vibrations. And so I moved to another place in the house. I changed it towards the colors he suggested, changed the images, and my life completely turned around. From after accident, I really had a lot of health issues. They healed very quickly. I started having a lot of friends. Before that, in that other place, I was bullied, beaten up sometimes at school, really very intense. Mm. And suddenly my bullies became my friends, which was really interesting. And my life just became joyful and happy from before that, quite depressing, to be honest. Mm. And so I kept doing the same principles that I knew. And then I became a lawyer and I started doing consulting on governmental level. And I started, my clients were, you know, top politicians and entrepreneurs. And I started kind of adding some of the principles. And then when I was 31, I really wanted to really get, you know, really the most masterful information. So I attracted a grandmaster that trained me personally. And I became a master after a few years. And I started, I was already teaching meditation. I was already teaching transformation. But I felt that a lot of people were missing out on how to set up their home to reach the highest spiritual level, to reach the most purpose. Because I do believe there's like the law of attraction exists out of three aspects, actually, according to the feng shui masters. So it's like one third is your spiritual destiny. It's like your purpose in life. And you can access that spiritual source that you have, God, the universe, whatever you call it, by meditation and prayer and, you know, really focusing on becoming a better human being. Mm-hmm. But there's another third, so they have a three thirds. A second third is they say, well, you have to also have the right human design. So you have to have thoughts that are positive and creative. Right. Feelings that are grateful and positive, actions that you need to take. You know, you cannot be lazy. And that's your human design. But they actually share that one third is your environment. And so where you sleep, where you live, where you work, if that is not aligned with your design or with your purpose, then you're missing out on manifesting things effortlessly and easy. And so that is what I really experienced, starting with my clients, start sharing. And I saw a lot of people were not able to find their soul purpose or manifesting so easy and effortless until they start adding feng shui and aligning everything. So it's like quantum physics, but from the environment perspective.
Oh man, I'm that really excites me. And I love that balance of the three things, you know, like the intention side, the action side. But then I think the side that gets overlooked the most has to be the environment, especially in modern free society. And we're going to dive into that in a second here. Do you agree with that though?
Totally. I totally agree. It's, I mean, in Asia, they were, you know, for thousands of years, they were already opening up because feng shui is 4,000 years old. And they know that everything is about qi. And it's like the Chinese, they believe the physical body has qi, right? So they're working with acupuncture, tai chi, and qigong, and meditation. But, you know, the bigger vessel, the bigger body we live in has also a flow of qi, and we can actually, you know, direct the energy. And that is actually feng shui. It's actually acupuncture of the home.
Oh, I love that. That's great. Oh, well, that leads into my next question. Can you talk about what feng shui is, maybe like the background a little bit, and then maybe talk about some misconceptions we have, you know, like seeing it in pop culture, on TV or whatever?
Yeah, so feng shui for me, when this is, like I said, about 4,000 years old, started in China, I really believe that it started with the shamans, you know, as we have shamans in different cultures. The people that were very close to nature that probably could still see the energy, feel the energy. And so the first thing they're looking for is to have a home that you are creating a space where you have more longevity. Because at that time, you know, the age, people, you know, died quite quicker. So they would set up a home in such a way that it would be protected against the colder winds, and that, you know, the front door would be towards a warmer wind. So because feng shui needs wind and water. So they protected themselves from cold winds. I mean, that's actually the original aspect of it. And so in the shamans, I think they kind of had to share with the common public, right? Like how to protect. And so they gave it very beautiful names, very poetic, like the dragon and the phoenix and the tortoise and the tiger, like to help people understand. But very quickly, this information was only kept by the very wealthy part of society.
The nobles, right?
The nobles, because they saw that this was very secret, sacred information. And so for thousands of years, literally, that information was kept to the top level of society, and it was even forbidden to give it to the normal people. And so it's only, you know, after the Chinese Cultural Revolution in the 50s, 60s, that a lot of the feng shui masters left China and were brought to the West, because they were not accepted to stay in China, in the communist China, except the most strongest feng shui master was kept by the government.
Whoa.
Well, it's quite interesting. And so from that moment on, the rich families took their feng shui masters with them to, you know, Taiwan, Singapore, Malaysia, and to the West. And it's only since the 70s that this information started coming into the West. The first English book came out in 81, I think. And I was already, in 1990, I was already one of the first 100 practitioners in the world. Jeez. And I mean, from the West, right? Not from the East. And it is really interesting. It's only the last, I would say, 20, 30 years that people really start understanding, you know, how the environment is impacted. But I always feel people already knew. I mean, there were places they would say, well, oh, this house brings good luck, or, you know, this area is not good for shopping. Or so they somehow felt it. And I think everybody has an inherent feeling certain areas, you come there and you're like, oh, I'm so relaxed here. And then other areas, you're like, oh, I don't want to stay here that long. So right. We call that good qi, good energy, and bad qi, right? But we are not becoming aware what it really does. So the feng shui masters start understanding that certain compass directions based on your birthday will be more beneficial for you. That certain colors, certain images, certain elements like water, fire, wood, metal, earth, that some people would be more relating with that based on your birthday. Also, where your location is, what the front door location is, what is the wind that comes in through your front door. It all creates a flow of qi. When we say literally, I want to be in the flow, right?
Right.
But, right? And, but if you know that your home, where you sleep, live, and work, can actually create a certain flow so that you're moving with the flow and in manifesting your goals instead of focusing to towards your goals, but to wind against you. Like
right.
It's harder to still get there. You will get on top of the mountain with the wind against you, but hey, who doesn't want to wind with them?
I love that attitude, 100%. And so fascinating, like you said, the history. And that sounded familiar when I was learning about the history of Kung Fu. Same thing during the Cultural Revolution.
Yeah.
And so what a horrible, strenuous time for that country, but it literally brought the wisdom, the thousands of years of protected wisdom, and brought it out to the rest of humanity. And that's so interesting that Feng Shui was part of that wave too. I love that. So fascinating. Can you share with us some of your favorite, you know, principles, some wisdom from Feng Shui that we can apply?
Yeah. So one that I really love is, you know, when you think about a king or a queen or an emperor or a president, you know, they are powerful people. So the first thing I always suggest to people, sit in a power position. So what does that mean? Is that when you're sitting behind your desk, if you're sitting in your sofa, if you're sitting in a meeting, always make sure that you see the door where people walk in, even if people don't literally walk in. So that means you cannot sit with your back to the door. You cannot like put your desk against the wall with your back totally vulnerable. And then when people come in, that you have to turn around. So the first step is always your power position. So think about, am I the king, the queen in my castle, in my home? So your desk, like I'm sitting right now, I see the door when people would come in. Now I'm, you know, online, but it still means that I'm in the flow of the power. And so that's the first rule. The second rule is always making sure there's space around you, right? So, you know, like on the desk, you know, make sure there's space, that there's no clutter, and there's space in front of your desk. So that's why you cannot put your desk against the wall, because you're hitting literally the wall with your subconscious mind. Because everything, that's the other aspect that I love about feng shui. Feng shui is really telling that everything around you is like a three-dimensional vision board. So everything that is as an image and a statue, the colors, it influences you 100% all the time, day and night, subconsciously. You're not even aware of it, but you get like your home sets as a trance, a trance of energy. And so if you want success, but you put yourself surrounding with clutter and images that are just telling the opposite, right? Then your home has an influence that is constantly working in your subconscious mind, even if you want to change something. But before you know it, you look around and you're like, oh, this is just not telling that I'm successful, or I want to be romantic, right? And
you have that's huge. That's a huge one. I'm glad you said that.
Yeah. It's like I come in people's homes all the time, and I come in and there's all single images, or they have angels and saints and masters and very spiritual. And it's great for spirituality. But if you want romance, you need to show that, you know, people are coming together. There are friends, there are families, there's couples. So you have to tell your subconscious mind what you want to be open for. So that is definitely something very simple. I always say to people, open the door from your home, your apartment, and walk through the door as you would be God, as you would be the universe. And you are the universe. So if you look through whatever is there And then you're like, these are my goals. Does anything that hangs around you, stands around you, reflects what your deepest desires are? If that is not true, you are telling two stories, the inner story and the outer story. Mm. And, you know, guess who will win? The home will win because it's bigger, it's stronger, it's earthy. And so your mind will always adapt itself to what is the mindset of your home that you created.
Oh, I totally, totally love that and agree with it. It's like it takes on a life of its own, you know, and we give so much reverence to dwellings. I just talked about this on a different interview for this month. It's like, whether it's building the house that you're going to go visit God, you know, your temple, your mosque, your place of prayer, or just the place where you sleep, there's so much kind of religious and spiritual reverence for the dwelling. And it does take on a life and an energy and a story of its own.
Correct. Yeah, it's very fascinating. I mean, I can literally come in a house or an office and tell what's going on there.
Right.
And they're like, how do you know this? And I said, well, you know, you just, the house tells me. It's exactly, right. This is what's going on in your life. And the way they position things, the way they have the colors, the way they put images, and everything is also connected with your personal birthday. That is one of the most amazing things. So everybody has an energy number, and based on your birthday, male or female, and then there are four compass directions that are really strong for you. So one is for success and money, one for health, one for relationships, and one for wisdom. And you can find it out for free on my website. Actually, I can download the energy number book. And so it's really interesting is that once then you look what is in that compass direction, like mine is Southwest, you know, is success. If I have in the Southwest a garbage can, if I have clutter there,
oh wow,
then it is actually constantly telling me I want success, but I put it in the garbage can. And people then say, well, it's like projects are now not going anywhere. Or it's like, oh, it's so blocked. But you have blocked it yourself. So in your success direction, you want to put my books are there, my products are there, my awards are there, my certificates. You know, people I work with that are super successful that I have as clients are there because I want to be as successful as them. In the relationship direction, I have a globe because I'm working globally, right?
Nice.
And again, I have my team there. I have my family there. So everything becomes like acupuncture. So you have like these four directions and everything you put there is with intention. And I can imagine if you have a life book, right, that you put your life book in your success direction because it will actually manifest faster.
I love that. It's so wise. And it just seems like that we're missing that ancient wisdom. You know what I mean? That's really, I mean, okay. So I know you're over in Europe, but I'm sure you face some of the same problems, but we here in the States, the way we cultivate our environments is, I would say, completely based on industrialization. If we think, how are we going to light a space? We're like, what's the cheapest, most efficient light? That's really not the way we should be thinking when we're building our environments, right?
That is so correct. And I lived 10 years in America, so I can totally relate. but it's really interesting also in America, because the way they set up the cities, they went really like north, south, east, west.
Yeah, true. Yeah? Grid systems.
And so grid systems, right? Now, interesting enough, because of the front doors are due north, due south, due east, or due west, they create a lot of financial problems, actually.
Whoa.
Because if you do due east, west, north, south, and east, you actually create temples. So a lot of people have relationship issues and they will have financial issues because of the grid system they set it up. And so the first thing I always have to do when I come in a house, I have to rearrange, not just changing the front door, but I have to rearrange the frequency of the front doors. And that moment we change that with some symbols, immediately people start making more money. They are opening up to relationships because the way they have set it up, and this is not done in Europe, they don't set it up in the grid system.
Mm.
Yeah. It actually creates collectively for America all cash flow problems.
Man, that makes sense because we do have so much innovation here, but we're always in a cash crunch and everyone has to work so damn hard. This is super fascinating stuff. I love this kind of wisdom. What else do you have to share with us? Just anything that you think the listeners would appreciate?
Yes. So one of the things I always want to talk about is the master bedroom. So your bedroom where you sleep, right? So the first thing is you always want to see the door when you wake up. So think about you're starting to sit up. Do you see the door? Because if you see the door, you will be strong that morning. You will be more active. You also will see the loved one coming in. So if you're a single, definitely turn your bed in such a way you see the door.
Wow.
Second thing is what hangs above your headboard? If nothing hangs there, don't be surprised. Nothing will happen in your life.
Wow.
Because at night, you know, our soul is kind of letting go of that physical body. And so whatever hangs above that headboard is what you will dream about. So if you have an image of water, then you will be very emotional and even depressed that it's hanging there. If it's an image of, I mean, I've seen everything of tigers and elephants, and don't be surprised that you won't sleep so well because you're
predators.
Yeah, your subconscious doesn't see it making a difference between the reality and an image.
That's interesting.
Yeah, visualization. That's why we visualize things, and athletes visualize running the marathon because then their body gets used to it. So whatever you see last is what your brain will take on. The same with mirrors. If we have mirrors reflecting our bed, we have more health issues. We feel more lonely. We also feel more stressed. So your bedroom should be a place focused on health, on romance, on harmony, not too spiritual. I mean, I have seen people putting too much angels around, and I always say angels are love, but they do not make love.
Love that. I love that. Yeah, you don't want the saints looking down on you when you're trying to, you know, have some time with your old lady and try and do something special. You don't want the saintly gazes. I like that.
I had people have images of their mother-in-law in their bedroom, and I would say, you don't want them.
Totally. Yeah, no, absolutely. Let me ask you this, though, Marie. Do you worry about tech? I'm sorry if you were going to finish your thought, but this just popped into my head, so I got to say it. I feel like so much of our, first of all, the way we set up our environments, but then just our attention. It's like we're on the computer, we're focused on the computer. You said the last thing you see before you go to bed is what you take with you. A lot of the times, the last thing people see is like the screen of their laptop, and then they shut it and pass out. Are you worried about the effect that tech is having, A, on our time, but also B, on our environments?
Well, I'm more, I would say, thinking about how it affects our brainwaves, because I have seen so many times that, and I talk about this all the time, that when you create harmony, when you're facing the right direction, your brainwave will go automatically from beta into alpha. Mm. If you're sitting with your back to the door, you will actually go automatically into beta brainwaves. Whoa. If you're sitting the door, within 3 seconds, your brain goes into alpha brainwaves. So the same thing is if you have your laptop or your iPad or your phone next to you, you know, it is actually that electricity, that electromagnetic field will create more beta brainwaves because it's also in your aura field. You have to think you're laying down, and if you would take your hands and like stretch them like an arm length all around you, if your tech, any tool that you have on that level is in that arm length around you, it will affect your brain constantly at night. So you have to always put it at least 2 arm lengths away from you. Try always before you go to sleep to have some other information, some nice music, an inspirational book, write in your journal, your life book, you know, have a wonderful conversation, have a little cuddle, you know, it's like, make sure you become human again. You know, focus on the human energy and not on that technical vibration. Or even people are watching, they have a television in their bedroom, and the last thing they see is, I don't know, the latest thriller or the latest, you know.
Or a zombie movie or something.
Right? Right. And it's like, I would say, make sure the last half hour, right, you have something else so your brain doesn't stay in that beta but goes into an alpha relaxed vibration. Because when you do that in the morning, you will have much more energy when you wake up Yeah. So it is definitely influencing you, but you can distance yourself a little bit definitely before you go to sleep. And in the morning, that's the same thing. Don't just, you know, get right away on your iPhone to see what is the latest news, you know. So make sure you take time for, you know, a little breakfast. Make sure you have time for your yoga, for whatever you're doing, meditation. But give yourself at least 5 minutes for yourself instead of jumping on all your technical tools.
Love it. This episode is just packed full of great practical strategies. Let me ask you this. You mentioned, you know, clutter being something you have to be constantly aware of. But would you say that minimalism and feng shui go hand in hand, or is that not necessarily the case? Like, talk to me about the amount of stuff we accumulate.
Well, I would say it doesn't really go hand in hand. But, you know, clutter is definitely something we need to pay attention to. Mm-hmm. First of all, always make sure the clutter around your bed is gone. So no clutter on your nightstand, no clutter under your bed, especially on the level of your heart and your head. So if it's towards the foot end, that's fine. No clutter at your entrance. So when you open your door, you don't want to see the coats and your shoes and boxes coming in, because you're saying to the universe that is within you, you're not welcome. You know, I don't open up for abundance, because each time you open the door, think about the wind of abundance can come in. But if the wind of abundance says, oh, this person is focused on poverty, then the wind stays out. Yeah. So the entrance definitely needs to be open. And I always suggest to people, start with letting go 10 to 25% of things you have, at least 10%. I mean, any cabinet, any place where you have things, let go of 10%. And as you're doing that, you will create inner space and you will create outer space for opportunities and possibilities to come to you. So I would not say it has to be Zen, but even like sometimes people put like, I don't know, 10, 15 images on one wall and say, let every statue, let every image have some aura field around it. Let read, so that your brain can take it in. Because if it's all, you know, massive kind of things, this is like all data, and we already have so much data every day on cell phones, on image, on messages. I mean, it's constantly. When you come home, you don't want an overwhelm of books, an overwhelm of things, an overwhelm of images. Mm-hmm. You need to breathe, so let everything breathe.
That's great advice. Now, you mentioned images, and I want to kind of circle back to what you said about when you sleep and images, you know, interfering and doing things like this. What images would you recommend? What are some of the more positive things we can bring into our lives with imagery?
Well, you know, I love, for example, above the headboard, an image of like two hearts, or you and your loved one in a beautiful, you know, current. You know, not like when you got married, right? But just like, or when you started dating, but, you know, something current.
Oh, I like that.
Could be a beautiful quote that you hang there, right? Mm-hmm. Anything, could be a landscape, but just not water. That's the whole thing. But just something when you look at it, you're like, you're getting inspired, you're getting positive from that. So you can really play with that. I mean, I love always having a beautiful heart or a beautiful quote. So love when it. I go to sleep, I see the quote.
Yeah. I love that. Absolutely. Now we did a lot of bedroom stuff. We did entryways. Why don't we talk about the kitchen just for a second? And then I have one more question before we wrap up, but talk to me about the kitchen and how feng shui plays in with where we eat.
Well, in the kitchen, you know, we don't really want there any personal pictures, actually. So because the kitchen is where fire and water is all the time, and so it fights always a little bit. So if you have too much personal images there, you will have more conflict happening in the family.
That is so interesting.
Yes, so you try always to not add too much red and not too much water, because you already have water and fire, the sink and the fire. So don't add red objects, don't add blue objects, because then you stimulate conflict. So work with images like, you know, like element, like you can put a crystal, you can do oranges and yellows and greens and whites and metals.
Elemental.
So to calm energy down. Yeah, to keep it calm and down. But don't put too much personal stuff in the kitchen. But, you know, where you definitely can do more personal stuff, of course, is the living room, the family room, because that's where your social life is.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love it. Listen, for the audience members who want to go deeper, obviously, mariediamond.com. You've got so many great tools for people to explore. What do you recommend that people, where should they start if they're interested in this subject?
Well, what I suggest is start. First of all, go to the website. You can download, you can get your free energy number. And so as you go there, you will get your, you have to choose male or female, and your birthday, and you will get your report. And in that report, you can start literally right away. I think it's 18 pages. You can start doing your home. And you will also then connect in with an app that is helping you with that, because people don't always know how to work with compasses. So I created a special app for them. And then I also would suggest, if they want to have more information, go to my YouTube channel, right? Go to my Instagram, because they get a lot of free, beautiful videos, smaller videos on Instagram, bigger videos on. Every week there's something we're releasing where you can learn more about feng shui.
I love it. Fantastic, Marie. Any final words? Any advice for people who are trying to really take their environment to the next level in 2020? Any parting wisdom you would like to share?
Yes. You know, in 2020, it's the year of the white metal rat. And so this is a year where we need to really structure our money. So we need to focus on having savings, making sure we can look for the future money-wise. And you can actually create some more cash flow in 2020 by placing a bubbling fountain in the northeast section of your office. That will stimulate your money.
I love it. It's so great. I love this ancient wisdom and exploring it from, you know, all the different facets, all the different guests that I have on. And we've really never covered feng shui. So this was really enlightening, Marie. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this today.
Thank you so much, Jordan. And I would say just explore this missing link of the law of attraction.
I love it. I love it. Everybody, thank you for listening. This is Marie Diamond and Jordan River signing off. We hope that you're having a wonderful time crafting your 12-category smart life. We're going to wish you an extraordinary day out there, folks, and we're signing off. So we'll see you next time. Bye-bye, everybody.